Hello, everyone. Good morning. Happy, happy Sunday. It's wonderful to be here with you again. I don't remember when I did the last Awakening Together service. I think it was only about 3 weeks ago. I don't think it was that long ago. But sometimes when I travel in between the trips, it's like I don't know. There's something about travel. When I come back, it makes me feel like I've been gone for a very, very long time. So since I've been to New York City and New Jersey, since I was here last, it just seems like forever since I've done this. And that's not only at the, you know, just the human sense of forever, but also I forget little things. Like I have to really check and make sure I'm remembering every little thing I need to remember because somehow I get out of the routine. Even though I only do this every 3 weeks anyway, I have to check a little more carefully if I've been away on a trip. But I can't help but wonder if my traveling days are going to begin to slow down now. Since I've returned from this last trip, although I know there will still be traveling, there's something shifted in that last trip. I know some of you may have seen, I commented on that in a post, but there's something in me that feels a whole lot more like traveling less and hanging around here a lot more, hanging around here in Pueblo a lot more, in the quietness of Pueblo. So we shall see what happens. But for the last few years, I've been traveling almost every month. And I don't know if that level will continue. Deb says, sounds familiar. Yeah. I'm sure the travel won't stop completely. In fact, in less than a month, I leave on another trip. Jasmine and I are going to China as her high school graduation gift. So, but still, there's just this feeling to start staying here in Pueblo. So we shall see what happens. Yes, I was in Moorestown. Yes, it was wonderful there in Moorestown, New Jersey. The Center for Conscious Living there is really a powerhouse. At least it was on the Sunday that I was there. And I had a lot of fun being a part of their service. Plus, I did a 3-day gathering there in addition to being their guest speaker at their Sunday morning service. I will be in China, Barb. I will be in China for about 2 weeks. Yeah, pretty much exactly. We leave on a Tuesday and come back on a Monday 2 weeks later. So yeah, I'll be there 2 weeks. and then when we come back, we actually take right off again. We go up to Fort Collins for Jasmine's university orientation. It's for both the parents and the kids. So we'll be home 2 days and take off again. But like I said, something in me is just wanting to stay here. So even though there are some, but we'll see what happens. Maybe this is related to the retreat center, right? And I'll talk a little bit about how much we've raised for the retreat center, but maybe this feeling that I am getting to stay here is related to the retreat center. And maybe instead of me running all over the country and the world to everyone and having very brief periods of time with them, maybe it's time for people to come here, you know, 2, 3, 4 people at a time, at a retreat center where I can spend more time with them and maybe something more useful will come of that. But we'll see what happens. Oh, Lynn says she's going to a wedding in Fort Collins on June 13th. I think that's when we'll be there. So maybe I'll run into you in a restaurant or something. I think that's about the time that we'll be in Fort Collins. All right. Well, enough of this chitter chatter. Why don't we get started with our wonderful weekly gathering? How does that sound to everyone? So I have greeted you. Now you all can greet one another, say your hellos, your virtual hugs, as I play the song that I traditionally play during this period of our service, Awakening by Deborah Premel and Mitten. Everyone, please say hello.
Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in
Wonderful. Thank you, everyone. It's a joy to watch you say hello to one another. It's a joy. It's a joy to be joined with people that share a purpose. I love that. So it is time for our statement of purpose. Last time when I was the minister for our weekly gathering, I shared a little bit from our Forms of Worship page, which you can find on our website underneath the About menu. And today, I feel to share from that page a little bit more. The top of the page says, "Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We believe that all religions, all scripture, and all spiritual masters ultimately point to one truth, for there can only be one absolute truth, not many. And since we are all inherently a part of truth as living beings, we can each realize truth as a direct intuition, regardless of our religion, culture, or spiritual tendencies. Therefore, our forms of worship come from all of the great spiritual traditions, and the exact form of worship may vary from one individual member to the next. Our basic forms of worship include," and I'm going to read all of the forms of worship that are listed on the page. I will read descriptions from just a few of them, or sometimes even partial descriptions. So again, our basic forms of worship include prayer, contemplation. Plato taught that through contemplation, the soul may ascend to knowledge of the divine. Teaching or sharing. A Course in Miracles teaches that we strengthen the voice of the Holy Spirit by sharing it. Meditation. Buddha said, "Meditation brings wisdom. Lack of meditation leaves ignorance." Silent mantra. Surrender. Self-inquiry. According to Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi, the purpose of self-inquiry is to question a thought in order to notice the difference between the phantom I that exists in thought and the true self, which is the awareness that is aware of thought. By continually focusing awareness on awareness, one realizes the true self. Practicing forgiveness. A Course in Miracles teaches that forgiveness is the practice of overlooking appearance and seeing the true self in every person. Focusing on the I Am Presence, the life force. Jesus told us, seek and you will find. Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj said, go deep into the sense of I Am and you will find. Awakening Together members trust that the sense of I Am comes from God. Therefore, focusing on it is a direct path to God. Musical worship. Satsang. Deep acceptance and allowance. The Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament defines judgment as the building block of illusion and recommends acceptance of what is, as the way to awaken from illusion to truth. It is the ego that controls and manipulates. So one way to transcend ego is to let go of controlling and manipulating by allowing all things to be as they are while deeply honoring the true essence of all things. Observing or noticing and journaling. So those are the forms of worship that are currently listed on our website. Hopefully you recognized a practice or two there that you practice on a daily basis. I'm noticing Jacqueline said that was like a mini review of the minister's preparation program. All right, our announcements. First of all, we do have an introduction to Buddhism class that will be starting in June. But enrollment for that class closes on June 1. So here we are just beginning May. That means you have about a month to contemplate whether you want to take the Buddhist class or not. It is a 6-week class. It will be taught at 2 different times so that you can pick the time that suits you. There will be a Tuesday evening class that will begin at 7:30 Eastern time and go until 9:30. There will also be a Wednesday morning class that will begin at 10 a.m. Eastern time and go until noon. Jay McCormick will teach the Tuesday evening class, and I will teach the Wednesday morning class. And the Buddhism class is a very interesting class. It helps us learn different, I'm going to say very practical practices that can become a part of our everyday life and help shift us away from confusing illusory thought and to shift our attention more and more towards our true self. It is a 6-week class. All of our classes are $20 per class week. That's always the price that we charge. So a 6-week class is $120. You can find out more about this class as well as the next class that we will be offering, which is a 3-week class on Kabbalah or Kabbalah. So you can find out about both classes by going to our website and clicking on the classes menu and looking for the classes that begin in June. Again, deadline for registration for the Buddhism class is June 1. Also, we had a wonderful time, those of us who had the opportunity to go to New York City for the CMC conference recently. We had a wonderful time, and there will be another CMC conference coming up next April in Las Vegas, and you can find information about that on our website. If you're absolutely certain you want to go to that, now is a great time to register. It hasn't really been announced to the public yet, and until it's announced, the prices are at a discount price. So if you know you want to go, you might as well get those tickets now. And all of that information is on our website under events. But that isn't really the conference I want to highlight today. We had a wonderful mini family reunion in New York City. By mini family reunion, I'm referring to the Awakening Together people that were there. But you know, the interesting thing about these Course in Miracles conferences is they are so large that we tend to get lost in the crowd. You know, we may pass each other somewhere in the hallway and get to say a quick hi and not see each other again for 3 days. You know, out of 505 people, sometimes we just kind of miss each other. So we have an opportunity coming up in late October, early November, to get together in a much, much smaller group, 40 to 80 people, and join together, and also a longer period of time, a slower period of time. You know, what happens at the ACIM conferences is you're with a teacher for an hour and a half, and then it's like changing classes in high school, and you go to another teacher and another teacher. But what will happen at our Awakening Together conference that's coming up in late October and early November is you'll have a lot of time with just one teacher, which means you can really go a lot more deeply. There will be more time for silence, which allows you to really integrate what you are receiving, more time with one another in a smaller group. It's really more intimate, and I will be honest, and although I loved the New York City conference, I had a wonderful time. The more intimate conferences do seem more purposeful to me. It feels like something real is accomplished in those conferences. So although I love to recommend that anyone who feels called to go to the ACIM conferences, and you know, the Las Vegas conference should be another wonderful, wonderful conference. I also ask that you seriously consider the Awakening Together conferences as well, the smaller, more intimate, longer experience. Our conferences, we have three this year in a row. You can go to one, two, or all three as suits your schedule and your calling. The first conference is with Jan Frazier. It will start Friday evening, October 30th, and run through lunch on Sunday, November 1. The second conference is with Regina Dawn Akers. It will begin Sunday evening, November 1. And run through lunch on Friday, November 6th. And the third conference is with Bentinho Massaro. It will begin at lunch. It will begin at dinner on Friday, November 6th, and run through lunch on Sunday, November 8th. So you can see they're right in a row. They're in Colorado Springs at a lovely, lovely little retreat center. It's a Franciscan retreat center, nuzzled up against the edge of the mountains. There are hiking trails that just leave the property right there. There's also two airports nearby. There's the Denver Airport, which is only about an hour away, and of course the Colorado Springs Airport that's right there. There will be shuttle service available, so you don't have to worry about renting cars if you don't want to. If you fly into Denver, you'll be able to take a public shuttle to a particular hotel in Colorado Springs, and then we'll pick you up at that hotel and bring you to the retreat center. Also, we'll have shuttle service going from the Colorado Springs airport to the retreat center. So please have a look and consider if this is the retreat for you. Over the next several months, I will be sharing more information, including more information about Jan Frazier and Bentinho Massaro for those of you who are not aware of who they are. Also, as you all know, we have a retreat center fundraising campaign going on right now. We are raising money to open our own retreat center right here in Pueblo. The vision is for a small retreat center where a few people may come at a time for a very focused inner retreat. And so far, I just want to let you know how much we've raised. As of, I think Friday was the last time I checked the amount. As of Friday, we've raised $19,150. So it's a beautiful heart vision, and we are on our way. I ask you all to hold the heart vision with me, trusting, of course, that it will unfold at the absolutely perfect time, and realizing we don't know when that time is. But please hold to the heart vision with me, and if you find in yourself that you are guided to donate, please listen. Because everyone who is guided to donate, their donations are going to help raise the money that we need in order to purchase the property that we need, the furniture that we need. We might even need a van or something like that to get people back and forth from the airport. So please consider donations. Also, go have fun and look at the properties on our website. Underneath the donate menu, you'll see the retreat center pages. There are lovely properties available in Pueblo. They turn over, and I keep the page up to date, so some come and some go. But what you'll see is consistently between $200,000 and $450,000 over and over again, there are nice properties that become available that would be perfect if the money showed up today. There's always something available. And also, you help with the visioning process just by looking at the properties and enjoying looking at the properties with us. That actually is helpful. So have fun every now and then and go and look at those properties when you have a few minutes to do so. The last thing I want to announce, and this is one of those kinds of announcements where I like to do a little drum beat to make sure, you know, if you happen to turn your attention away from me for a second, to bring your attention back, because this is kind of I perceive it to be a major announcement. Next Sunday, May 10th, right here in the Awakening Together Sanctuary, we are going to have our first Awakening Together Minister Ordination Ceremony. We have 5 ministers who have gone through the entire minister preparation program, and they are going to be ordained next Sunday night. That will be 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Please come and honor them. They've done nearly 2 years of work. This particular class went through it at a faster pace than most classes, which means they got fewer breaks. So they went through it in 1 year and 9 months. That's 3 months less of breaks than most classes. They work very hard in the minister preparation program. There is some type of reading, contemplation, meditation happening nearly every day of the week, the entire time they're in the program. And I think that a lot of shifts also occur in this program. So in a way, they're not the same people that started the program 1 year and 9 months ago. So please come and honor this next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah, dedication. Lots of dedication happens in the MPP program. All right, and that's the end of my announcements. So what I want to do then is begin, I'll call it the spiritual part of our gathering. I will say briefly that I was at another church last weekend. I was their guest speaker, and they also did announcements just like we do, and their announcements took about as long as our announcements do. But they put theirs at the end of the service. And what I noticed in that experience is I really prefer to have the announcements at the beginning of the service, because they had a wonderful spiritual service. You really get into it, and then there's these announcements. And I don't know, it just felt kind of flat. So I'm glad that our order, our program service order, has the announcements up front, because then starting with this song, we enter into kind of our spiritual portion of the gathering, and we end on that, which I think is a wonderful way to end. So I was grateful that we planned our program order the way we have. So our first song today then, or our second song really, is going to be by an artist named Saving Jane. And the name of the song is Grace. So please join with me as we move into the heart.
I don't want to see anything. I don't want to be lost again. I don't want to walk far from you. I just want to live like you do. As I stumble to the light of grace, you said you'd always have a place for me. Got a little scared in the woods. And everywhere I turn, nothing's good. Then I saw a little light shine for me. A little path at my feet. As I fumble with the gift of my free will, you say, hush now, listen to my voice, be still. My refuge, my Father, the only living water. I'm weary, I'm broken, I've cracked my
I'm going to go into a period of silence, followed by a prayer. I hear the words that that song ended with. I don't want to be lost again. At some point, we probably all felt somewhat lost. Some of us may have been in deep, deep suffering. Some of us just sensed a meaninglessness of it all. Some of us experienced simply not being able to relax, always feeling stressed or like something wasn't right. Whether our being lost seemed to be extreme or whether it seemed subtle, it was enough to start us seeking. Often when we begin seeking, there's this great motivation to find. The motivation in the beginning, often called zealousness, can be incredible. It's invigorating. We are so open, so willing. But also often what happens at some point as we get into some kind of a new routine. Something about that zealousness can become lost. And although now we still hang out in spiritual circles and we talk with spiritual words, sometimes we don't notice that the seeking has stalled prematurely. And we also don't notice that the ego is regaining its foothold in our minds. I don't want to be lost again. If the zealousness is waning here, I ask grace to bring it back. If there is something that I need to do that I am not currently doing to keep the zealousness very alive, please shine the light of awareness on that for me. If there is resistance, please show me the way to transcend that resistance, or just do it anyway. I don't want to be lost again. I know you do not abandon me, but I sometimes abandon you. And in your love and total allowance, you allow that to happen, which I understand is also a gift. Freedom is a gift, even the freedom to be lost. But I don't want to be lost again. So I give you permission to awaken me if I begin to fall asleep. Amen. And with that said, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Francine Wright. She is our reader today. She will be reading from the teachings of Inner Ramana. And the message that she will read is called The Importance of Practice. Francine, the mic is yours.
Good morning. Thank you, Regina. That was beautiful. Can everyone hear me? Okay, great. The importance of practice.
Much of what you do comes from the ego. Let me define ego for you, since all words can have varying meanings. Ego is the belief in the false identity, I. So when I say that much of what you do comes from the ego, I mean that you are being driven or moved by that belief in the mind. That is the same as saying you are listening to and believing thoughts or stories in the mind. And this is belief in illusion. We've already agreed that our purpose now is not to believe the mind. This is what I call non-attachment. Non-attachment is not believing the mind. Complete non-attachment is realization. So if much of what you do comes from attachment or believing the mind, achieving non-attachment must come from doing differently. And this is the purpose of surrender. When you ask me for guidance in the moment, you are giving willingness to detach from ego or believe in false I and realize true self through non-attachment. To try to understand awakening while the false concept I is in place can be very frightening, because as false I stretches beyond itself to understand what is being thought, it finds it is not there. To the one who defines himself by this false thought, absence of I appears as death. Living without I is the answer to this fear. This is how true perception or guidance becomes a bridge. Some people want to understand awakening before committing themselves fully to it. They want to ensure they can understand that awakening is safe and is not death. But I would ask these ones to ask themselves, who wants to understand awakening? If they make this inquiry, they may discover it is attachment to the false I that wants to feel safe. In this way, to continue to seek spiritual knowledge or understanding is to remain attached to the false concept I. It is much better to use your time in the practice of the mantra in surrender. You will awaken faster through these practices than through asking questions about awakening. The power that makes the universe turn is you. This is not a vain statement. This is merely absolute truth. The world and all that you experience, your universe of objects and relationships and reactions comes from you. It comes from your belief in these experiences and your thoughts about them. This is why, in brief, why the world fades from sight as you practice the mantra and surrender. The world comes from your attachments to your thoughts. As you detach from these thoughts, there is no more power to make a world. Jesus told you that you would begin to see light around objects, and this is the beginning of true vision. I tell you that the truth is one. An appearance of objects occurs only because you believe the mind. By listening to me through surrender, you detach from your belief in objects and the world, and you allow them to fade. By practicing the mantra, you will still the mind, and you are no longer adding to the power that creates the world of objects, seeing and experience. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Francine. I want to read something else to you. I'm going to read from the Bible. This is Jesus speaking in the book of Luke, chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. What I find really interesting about this, and by the way, for those of you who want to know, it's at Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, it looks like. And again, this is in the Bible, not in TI. What I find really interesting about this is when Jesus is referring to the man who built his house on a foundation of rock, he says that this man comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. There's three things that happen there. Comes to me, hears my words, puts them into practice. Three things. And what's also interesting is that when he refers to the one who had the house built without a foundation, he still calls that one the one who hears my words. Yeah, Kathy says, listen, learn, and do, which is from the original edition of A Course in Miracles. Listen, learn, and do. And this one who has a house built without a foundation still does the first two steps. Listens and learns. Isn't that interesting? He still listens and learns. But what he's missing is the do. What he's missing is the practice. Jesus says, the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. And I am here to say that for many, many, many of us, we remember the first two steps. We remember to listen. We remember to learn. But somehow the ego distracts us from do. One place that I sometimes see this is in the MPP program, the Minister's Preparation Program. You know, the Minister's Preparation Program has the listening. You know, that happens during the reading that happens in that program. It has the learning that happens during the contemplation. People contemplate and they really learn within themselves what the reading meant. So it has the listening. It has the learning. It also has the do. The Minister Preparation Program has very specific exercises, sometimes to be practiced within 24 hours for the full 24-hour period. You know, you're watching your mind for a particular thing. You're noticing how often your mind does that. Sometimes it's a meditation practice. Sometimes there are even very brief meditation practices. Do this for 5 or 10 minutes. And what I know happens is that many people will do the listen. They'll do the learn. But they'll skip the exercise. They'll skip the do. They think, I don't have to do that. I've got my answers for class. I've got that in the listen and learn part. I can skip the do and run on with my day. Recently, what happened for me is that my teacher has decided to be my teacher, which is really wonderful. Some of you may know that I have considered Michael Langford my primary teacher, teacher in form. The primary teacher is the inner teacher. But the primary outer teacher has been Michael Langford for a number of years. You guys have known this. But for a number of years, the way that I learned from him was through his two books, The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss and The Seven Steps to Awakening. And around a year ago, I ran into him in this room. and we had a brief telephone conversation. But there hasn't been a lot of exchanges between him and me since then. And very recently, starting in March of this year, thanks to someone I don't even know, I made a change, and that change was I began to post all of the Seven Steps audios on Regina Dawn Acres. Someone I don't even know wrote and asked me to do that. Might even have wrote Lynn, and Lynn forwarded the email to me, I think. And so I said, sure, I'll do that. And I posted them all. And somehow when I did that, Michael Langford noticed, and he decided to start listening to all of the audios, beginning with the very first one. And this is when communication opened up. And he stepped forward and began to become more active, my teacher. And I'm so grateful. I don't think there is a better teacher in form for me than Michael Langford, and I've always known this. So to have this moment come when he's really participating in a more active role in that way is wonderful. But do you know what has come of it? I have noticed how much I don't practice. Even as much as I practice. And I know many of you will say, Regina, you practice so much more than I do. And there may, in some cases, be a truth to that. But what I have noticed is how much I don't practice. I have noticed how many opportunities there are for me to be in focused spiritual practice and doing nothing else. And instead, I'm doing something else. You know, like one of the things I told him is at night, and I've told this to you all too recently, so you know that I've been looking at this for the last few months, but I said that at night, at the very end of the day, when everything is said and done, I usually turn on the TV for half an hour to an hour, and I realize I don't need to do that. I could spend that time in contemplation again, or in meditation again. You know, my resistance has told me that if I spend that time in contemplation or meditation, I'll just fall asleep. It will be wasted time. But if I really look at that, that's nothing but an ego trick. Because do you know, if you ask Danielle, she'll tell you, if you ask Danielle, why does Regina say she watches TV at the end of the day? She'll tell you, because she's not sleepy and she wants to become sleepy. So she watches TV so it makes her sleepy. Wait a minute. And yet the ego is telling me I don't want to meditate or contemplate because I might become sleepy. Well, you know what? Becoming sleepy is a part of my purpose, actually, that time of night. So instead of watching TV, what if I spend the time meditating or contemplating until I get sleepy, and then I just go to sleep with that having been the last activity? I've also noticed that I lie to myself about my relationships. Sometimes I tell myself that I need to be sitting in the living room with Ron on weekends, because he's here and he wants to be with me. But you know, often, this is just a lie, guys, and I'm sharing my lies so that maybe you can find your own. Okay? Because we lie. We lie to ourselves. So we'll laugh at me, but I'm hoping that you'll then take this and find your own lies. So I lie to myself and I say he wants to be with me. He's only here on weekends. So I need to be sitting in the room with him. But yet if I look over at him, lots of the times he's engaged, he even has headsets in his ears, he's listening to audiobooks, or he's engaged playing some game on the computer or something. So yesterday I did something different. Yesterday I went and sat on the back porch, and I spent hours in spiritual practice, both meditation and contemplation. He was inside. He watched two movies during that time. I think he watched Men in Black and some other movie, The Avengers or something. He did not complain at all that I was on the back porch in spiritual practice. So what I've decided to do now is start a scavenger hunt. A scavenger hunt for times that I can be in the spiritual practice that I'm called to. And I'm not talking about allowing all things to be as they are, because I actually do that all of the time. That's a 24/7 spiritual practice for me. I'm good there. And I plan to stay good there, you know. So in addition to looking and noticing where my gaps are, I can also look and see where my strengths are. And I can choose to stay strong in the strengths, but add to where the gaps are, right? So I am really very good at allowing all things to be as they are most of the time. And when I slip, I usually catch myself pretty quickly and go right back to it. I'm pretty good there. You know, what A Course in Miracles calls forgiveness, which is, you know, overlooking the faults and seeing the Christ or the divine in my brother. I'm good at that too. I spend a lot of time, even while I'm looking you in the face and listening to you, contemplating your truth. There are a lot of spiritual practices that I have learned to live, abide. They've become new habits, new wineskins, as Jesus would call them. It's wonderful. But what I'm noticing is there are still gaps. The largest gap in my life, which has always been the largest gap in my life, is meditation. And yet my teacher, who I am saying I am so grateful for, that he has decided to step in and be more actively my teacher, is in his own way asking me to spend a lot more time in meditation and contemplation. He emphasizes contemplation for me as well, which I've grown a little weak in lately. There are days when I still spend a lot of time in contemplation, but there can be days, sometimes even a week, where the ego will tell me I'm too busy and I skip the contemplation to go to the work. So sometimes I'm strong in the contemplation, sometimes I'm weak, I'm not consistent. So there I need to become consistent. Very, very easy for me to do. I love contemplation. I just need to do it. But the meditation I'm extremely weak in. And my teacher is asking me to add it. And so I will do that. And so I need to find all of the ways that I lie to myself, that I resist, and then make the necessary changes. Jesus says you can't put old wine in new wineskins, or the new wineskins will burst. You need to put new wine in new wineskins. New wine needs to go in new wineskins. NTI says the interpretation of that is that we do need new habits. We can't be on the spiritual path and continue with our old habits, whatever they are. We each have different old habits that we need to drop, and we all make excuses at some point for those old habits. I mean, for me, maybe the old habit is watching TV, believing I need to hang out with Ron in times when I don't. I mean, there are times that I will need to, but I'm believing it more than I need to. There are times when he would not care at all if I dismissed myself from the room and went outside or downstairs and meditated. He wouldn't care at all. I need to recognize that. Some people, some of the habits are different. You know, some people maybe are really still much more interested in dating than they need to be right now. Some people are maybe much more interested in getting high or getting drunk than they need to right now. Some people may be much more interested in just eating. Eating is something that has changed for me. I'm grateful for that. But I do remember what it's like to just eat, and, you know, spend time eating. And I can't list all of the habits that we may have that are keeping us from giving our full attention to our spiritual path, but each one can find their own habits. Each one can look and say, again, without judgment, this isn't about judging ourselves and deciding we're bad because we aren't fully vigilant in all of the ways that we're called to be. But this is about recognizing what Jesus is saying to us and what the teachings of Inner Romana are saying to us. The practice is important. We need to not just listen and learn. You know, Jesus says again, the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. Right? The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. In the Sufi course, in the Minister Preparation Program, we have this wonderful story about Mula, which is just a character in many Sufi stories. Mula and the leaky bucket. And what happens is a disciple of Mula's, because Mula's actually a teacher, a disciple of Mula's goes and Mula says, will you help me fill up this bucket with water? And the disciple says, sure. So he's holding the bucket, very happy to be serving his teacher. And his teacher's pouring water in. And at some point, the student notices that the amount of water in the bucket is not increasing. He's like, he's been pouring so much water in. Why is it not increasing? And he looks and he notices the bucket is leaking about the same amount out as the water is going in. When I read that story, what I see, of course, people interpret the story differently in their contemplations, and that's perfect. But I need to look at what I see when I read that story. And what I see when I read that story is that listening and learning creates a bucket, but it's still a leaky bucket if we do not add the do. If we are not practicing to the fullest extent of our ability, our spiritual practice, we have a leaky bucket. I don't want to be lost again. I saw many of you agree with that prayer. You typed your agreement on the board. And I know that some of you who are listening and did not type your agreement on the board, I know that you still agreed because I know that we share one heart. I don't want to be lost again. What are Jesus and Inner Ramana telling us that we need to do if we don't want to be lost again? Practice. What does that mean? Practice. Well, I started today's gathering by reading some forms of practice to you from our website. And I even read to you that we may not all be doing the same practice, and that is wonderful. You know, that's what Awakening Together is all about. But whatever practice or practices that are calling to you right now, are you doing that to the best of your ability, or are you still letting resistance, delay, distraction get the best of you? And if so, how do you feel about this line right here? Does this ring in your heart? I don't want to be lost again. I don't want to be lost again. Do you want a leaky bucket? Do you want a house built without a foundation so that when the storm comes, it is completely knocked down? Why are you here? To continue in the same old habits? Or are you ready for the new habits that Jesus says lead to being born again? Listen to this from NTI. This is from NTI Matthew chapter 7. Verse 6, do not take my words lightly without practice, for to listen and to agree, but not to practice, is not to have heard, and one who will not hear cannot be healed. It's the same message again. Listen one more time. Do not take my words lightly without practice, for to listen and to agree, but not to practice, is not to have heard. And one who will not hear cannot be healed. I'm going to read our forms of worship again, which are really the practices that are most common in Awakening Together. Listen quietly as I read the list. First of all, just listen for which ones are to be your current practice right now. Maybe even write them down on a piece of paper if you know this is something you are to be doing. Don't try to do them all. Ego tries to do everything and gets nothing done. Listen to what you are to be working on right now. Maybe write them down. And then this week, begin looking. Join me in the scavenger hunt. Where are opportunities available for you to practice your practice that are not being embraced right now? Can you increase your spiritual practice so that you do not have a leaky bucket and do not become lost again? Here's our list of practices. Prayer. Contemplation. Teaching or sharing. Meditation. Silent mantra. Surrender. Self-inquiry. Practicing forgiveness. Focusing on the I am presence. Musical worship. Satsang. Deep acceptance and allowance. Observing or noticing. Journaling. I don't want to be lost again. I don't want to lie to myself at all. And I hope you'll join me in that. So now I'm going to play a song. This is our opportunity to contemplate the reading and the teaching that has just occurred. It's also an opportunity to donate to Awakening Together, if you choose to, and Barb will post that link. The name of this song is Where I Belong, and it's by Corey Asbury.
Your presence is all I am longing for. Here in this secret place, nearness is all I am waiting for. Here in the quiet place. My soul waits for you, just like the watching rain pouring down. And here I find me from the place, and where we'll meet our face to you
Lovely song. All right. So this is now the time of our weekly gathering where you all get to share based upon today's reading, today's message. We have about 6-7 minutes available for that. So sorry if I'm out of breath. I was dancing. So I'm a little, I was having fun just dancing to that song. Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Regina. And what the word that comes to me and the word that I'm looking at is certainty. And this is what comes about because of our practice. The practice is what brings about the certainty. You know, Jesus talks to us in the Course and says that, you know, teaching, if you're a teacher, it is a method of conversion. It converts your heart. It brings about that certainty that the voice for God, the Christ mind, is working in me. And so what I have found is that through my practice, it brings me more and more and more into that certainty. And then whenever I slip, which is not very often anymore, even if I do slip into that thinking that, you know, something is different than it is, I'm able to see that immediately. It's like it just is something out of kilter in the world, and it's not right. So I'm being brought back to certainty every moment because of the practice. And, you know, God, you know, Jesus knew, you know, me, that I was going to be very difficult and really need a lot of pushing and prodding to maintain that practice. And that's why I'm here. You know, I've been given the greatest job in the world to be constantly thinking, looking for, you know, how the Holy Spirit sees and knows these things and interpreting them correctly with the Holy Spirit mind. That's become a moment-by-moment practice because I'm constantly seeing and hearing and surrounded by the evidence of my devotion. And so thank you for everyone who makes this possible for me to do every day, because this is what has brought about this amazing transformation of my heart to where I can't fool myself anymore. It's impossible to fool myself. It's impossible to lie to myself, because the person who is lying to me is not really me, and it's not my friend, not nobody I care to even deal with. So when those lies come up, they are just seen as, I just see them as nothing and let them go. So Jesus said this in the Course, chapter 3, is to know is to be certain. Uncertainty means that you do not know. Knowledge is power because it is certain, and certainty is strength. And practice, practice, practice is what brings about that certainty, whether you're learning how to play the piano or you're learning how to play golf or any of those things that we try in the world. Practice, practice, practice brings that certainty, that strength, that it will be there for us whether or not we are aligning with our own right mind at this moment. Our right mind is always here and available and very evident because of the practice, because we've learned to see. And and thank you, Monica. Thank you, everyone. And I'm turning the mic back to you, Regina.
Thank you, Lynn. Yeah, your words were different, but the meaning of the words were the same as what I heard Jesus saying in the Bible about, having both the listening coming to me, learning from me, and practicing what I say, right? That's what puts the house on a foundation of rock. This is what I heard you say in different words, but the foundation of rock, you called it certainty. The foundation of rock comes from the practice. Who else would like to share? We still have, oh good, Barb, the mic is yours.
Thanks, Regina. What a wonderful, message this morning. And I want to focus back. For me, I was listening to you as you were going through the different forms of worship, and I can say for me that many of these practices, they kind of work together. It's almost like they're in tandem. When I'm teaching and I'm sharing, there's, you know, other. It's like there's an energy going on where I am, you know, it's almost like all of the reading, all of the meditation that I've done over the many years, they all kind of come to this moment right now. So meditation, surrender has been very difficult for me, but one of the things I think you had mentioned to me once is that when you were in Bend, Oregon, and you were teaching in Romana, that one of the things I realized was, and of course I don't always see it myself, but was that it's a natural process. We can't force ourselves to do this work. It's because we want to. And self-inquiry, I can tell you the self-inquiry is like almost, I feel like it's a constant practice. Not all the time, but gosh. And that to me is also another form of, or they dovetail together, observing or noticing. I just find these things, they work together. They work together every day. And, you know, lately I've gotten to the point where I'm just super grateful that I have opportunities to let go. I have opportunities to watch. And all of the different practices that I have, or different books I've read, I would say my base is A Course in Miracles, but all the other ones have been, you know, like, it's almost like they, you planted the soil and they're just like the other, what grows out of the soil, all these other things I'm reading and taking in, and it becomes a natural practice because I want it. It's like Michael Langford, it's that intense desire for liberation. Anyway, I see that Dolores' hand is up, so I'm going to let go of the mic, but thank you for letting me share. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Barb. Yes, that intense desire for liberation is critical. You know, NTI also says that the answer to strong resistance is strong willingness. You know, so if we notice that we have too much resistance right now, then what we could focus on is building our willingness, building our desire. And as we build our desire for awakening, then the resistance naturally grows weaker. Dolores, the mic is yours.
Good morning, everyone. And what just came to my mind, you know, I'm in a 12-step program. And when you first come in, when I got out of rehab, the first thing that they tell you to do is go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And when you're first, you feel this intense desperation because you don't want to live the life that you lived before, really like degradation. So it's like you're on fire for, you're on fire for the Lord or whatever. You're on fire for recovery. So you do the 90 meetings in 90 days and that. And so the song that you played, Regina, that you don't want to lose it. And that's in the beginning, you don't want to lose it. And then you start to see people trail off as they're in recovery. They get 5-6 years of being clean from drugs and alcohol, and then they stop coming around. They're not in service anymore, you know. And I'm doing that now. I've been, you know, clean for a while, and my service and my attendance and stuff is dropping off. But you kind of really described me and what you shared about practice, because I just surfacely do what I'm supposed to do in the MPP class. And I always feel kind of judged a lot of nights. There are some times when it's better for me, but then there are other times when I let life get in the way. And what is proving that my foundation is weak is because here in Baltimore this week, you know, I am really struggling with and it's brought up a lot for me, you know, being African American, and it's just brought up such, which is a good thing, okay? But the one thing that I'm really kind of bothered by, maybe, you know, the storm comes and I see that I don't have a foundation. I have a very dear, close friend who is Armenian, and I'm Black and African American or whatever, African heritage. And she posted some, you know, racist type of conservative bent comments and called the rioters animals and, you know, and so, and we work out together at least 3 times a week or more. And so my foundation, so what do I do with that? You know, I'm trying to struggling with what do I do with a very dear friend of mine who, and I know, I see the practices that you have here, forgiveness, but I got feelings, you know, I got feelings and I got deep feelings, about things, you know, and a contemplation, yeah, I get, you know, contemplation, all those things, meditation, I guess those are the things that I need to do, but I don't know how to rectify my relationship with my friend. And is that because I'm not deeply ground in a practice? I could just go ahead and overlook and be in a place of forgiveness immediately after she, and knowing what she thinks about what happened. So this is timely. I'm really going to do the scavenger hunt this week. And I'm going to go take a walk with my grandson in a little bit. I'm letting go of the mic.
Yeah, based on what you have shared, Dolores, just now, I would say that the spiritual practice that maybe your attention could be turned to is the one that we call observing or noticing. So you might go and read that, contemplate that, see what that is. And I think the observing or noticing is maybe what needs to be a big part of what you're focusing on right now while all of these things are coming up. Monica, the mic is yours.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Regina. Thank you. I'll be brief. It's been a rough road the last 6 to 8 weeks with a couple brain surgeries. But I'll tell you, the practice that most often I'm thinking about, and I'm spending a lot of time by myself, and you know, is awareness of awareness. And there's very little time that I'm not contemplating that. I am having some awareness of my level of awareness. And, that's kind of mostly what I've been doing the last weeks. I have good news that I'm going out to the nursing home this afternoon with my friend with the therapy dogs. And she brought those dogs in to see me. I'm sorry, but she brought those dogs in to see me every week and to see the other patients, and I became friends with her, and now I'm going with her to bring the dogs into the nursing home, and she's a very kind and sweet woman. Yes, Barb, yes, the doggies, they're little Shetland collies. So anyway, that's mostly my practice is awareness of awareness. I do get up and do a Course in Miracles lesson, and I do it with Amy Torres, and I do it with Russell Johnson, and if I'm still have, you know, steam going, I do it with Teddy. You know, it depends what time of day it is, what time these teachers do it. So I am working with the course lesson, and I am working with awareness of awareness. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Monica and everyone. And as I listened to Barb and Dolores today, I realized that there may be a form of practice that is missing from our forms of worship page, and I'm going to go back and add it, and that is the practice of increasing one's willingness. As we know, Michael Langford says that is extremely important. NTI says that it is extremely important. When A Course in Miracles begins, it talks about what you need is a little willingness, but as you get towards the end, it says you need great willingness. So I will add that as a spiritual practice for those of us who really know we need to build up our willingness so that we can do the practice that we feel called to. I will add that. And with that said, what I'm going to do now is play our closing song for the day. This song is by Lucy Wainwright Roach. It's called Everywhere. And, of course, it's a wonderful song to listen to when you just want that practice with you all the time. And again, some of the practices are wonderful. I call them walking practices, like allowance. And then some of the practices need a dedicated time, like the sitting meditation or the sitting contemplation. So, but since there's both walking practices and practices that need a certain time, we can be with God everywhere at all times. And that's what this song reminds me of. I want to thank everyone very, very much for coming today. Let's close by being in the heart with Lucy.
Can you hear me calling out your name? You know that I've fallen and that I don't know what to say. Speak a little louder, I'll even shout. You know that I'm proud and I can't get the words out. Oh, I want to be with you everywhere, oh, I want to be with you everywhere. happening to me. My friends say I'm acting peculiarly. Come along, baby, you better make it start. You better make it soon before you break my heart. Oh, I wanna be with you everywhere. Oh, I wanna be with you everywhere. Can you hear me calling out your name? You know that I've fallen and I don't know what to say. Come along, baby, you better make it start. You better make it soon before you break my heart. I wanna be with you everywhere. Oh, I wanna be with you everywhere. Oh, I wanna be with you everywhere.
Song. All right, that's it, everyone. I look forward to maybe seeing some of you here this evening, of course, next Sunday morning, and don't forget next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, for our very first Awakening Together Minister Ordination Ceremony. Bye-bye.